To Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I will be reading verses 15 through 21. As we turn there, we do well to remember that this is the Word of the Almighty Creator God, our Father. So let us give careful attention to the reading of His Word. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thus far, God's holy and inerrant word, it is the perfect rule for faith and life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in your word. But Father, we acknowledge our weakness. We are finite. We are limited. We are sinful. And we're looking at the Word of the infinite, eternal, and holy God. So Father, we pray, send your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Illumine our hearts and our minds, that we might not just understand the words that are written here, but that we may believe them and love them and obey them. We ask it in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. 3 years after the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, Governor William Bradford issued the following proclamation, saying, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as He has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that you pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since the pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for all His blessings. 400 years ago, and this year I have it on good authority that tens of millions of Americans will be traveling to places near and far by plane, train, and automobile, over the river and through the woods, gathering as families and friends, as small groups and large. To engage in a feast of gluttony and football that we call Thanksgiving. But I wonder how much Thanksgiving gets done on Thanksgiving. Oh, I know that there are traditions that families have, but if we're really honest, we would have to say it's probably more grumbling than Thanksgiving that gets done just like every other day of the year. And when we come to a passage like Ephesians 5, we find a powerful counterpoint, a declaration that Christians, that is, those who are God's children by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, are to be countercultural. And they're to be countercultural because they have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. They really are different. And what this passage shows us is that instead of being stuffed with stuffing, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can eat stuffing too. It's not a dig at any food. I love food. But there's a calling here to every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the question is, what does that look like? What are the evidences of being filled with the Spirit? And Paul enumerates them in this passage. He says that those who are filled with the Spirit speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We worship God together. We sing His praises together. We encourage one another and ourselves with His Word and His praises. We give thanks. And we'll come back to that in a moment. And we submit to one another. That's what people who are filled with the Spirit look like. But particularly for our purposes today, I want us to note that what this passage shows us is that the Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit is one who is full of thanksgiving. Gratitude is a fruit of the Spirit-filled life. And there are four things to note about Christian thanksgiving. First, notice the duration. How long does it last? The duration of our thanksgiving. Well, Paul says it. Giving thanks when? Always. Always. In other words, there is never a time when we should not be giving thanks. Thanksgiving is not just for Thanksgiving. Indeed, perhaps we should have the same attitude towards Thanksgiving that my wife has towards Mother's Day. She says, if you're not going to honor me on the other 364 days of the year, don't bother honoring me on Mother's Day. Yes, it is right that we spend time focused on Thanksgiving, but the Spirit-filled Christian is one who is always giving thanks. And why? Why is it that the Spirit-filled Christian is one who is always giving thanks? It is because the Spirit-filled Christian knows that we are always under the watchful, caring eye and the gracious, loving hand of our Heavenly Father. We know that our Heavenly Father is at work in our lives every moment of every day. And so there's never a time when we're not to be giving thanks. And the Apostle Paul himself sets the example for us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, where he says to the Ephesian Christians, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Or in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he writes, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As we know that what our God has done in our lives in delivering us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that never changes. God's not going to choose you to be His child and save you from your sins through faith in Christ and then go, oh, you know what? I changed my mind. He'll never do that. And so it is that our thanksgiving should be never ceasing. Consider David, King David, who was delivered by a dramatic deliverance from the Philistines before he was king. And what did he say? Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Our giving of thanks is always in every season of life. Young people have every reason to give thanks for the parents who gave them life, for the parents who care for them, for the fact that they don't have to go out and slog away in a job day after day trying to eke out a living. They don't have to worry about paying taxes. Children have every reason to give thanks. Parents have every reason to give thanks for their children, for their spouses. The elderly have every reason to give thanks. Oh, yes, we have the aches and pains, but you know what those aches and pains are. We've earned those. They are hard-earned, aren't they? Because God has graciously given us long life. How much do we have to give thanks always and at every time and in every place? But how do we do that? Is Paul telling us that our conversation should always be thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you? Is that what he's saying? It's self-evident that that's not what he's saying, because Paul says a lot of other things too. So he either means something different or he's contradicting himself, not living according to his instructions. But what he's speaking of here is a heartfelt attitude. An attitude where thanksgiving springs from the heart. Whether it always reaches the lips or not, there's always that sense of thankfulness. And how can we even have that unless we cultivate it? You see, gratitude is a thing that is cultivated. There was a dear lady in my first pastorate up in the mountains of North Carolina. Just about everything she said had a tagline: thankful to say. It was a habit. But what a wonderful habit to have. And that's how we cultivate this sense of always giving thanks, of always having this attitude of being grateful for all that God has done and is in our lives. But note not just the duration of thanksgiving, but also note the scope of thanksgiving. That is, thanksgiving is for everything. Let that sit a spell. Everything. Everything? That's what he says. One commentator says, we're to be giving thanks for blessings, spiritual and physical, ordinary and extraordinary, past, present, and future, for things received and even for things withheld. That's hard, isn't it? Something you really wanted that you were asking God for and God said no. That's hard. I thank God that he said no to me for some of the things I prayed for. Although he didn't say it, he could have said it, no, you'll shoot your eye out. You'll kill yourself. if I give you that. Or you'll be so puffed up with pride that you will be useless to me. How thankful we should be. But wait a minute. There's awful things. I mean, there's wickedness in this world. There's genuine evil in this world. Does Paul mean to say we're to give thanks for evil? Not exactly. Our thanksgiving is to always be to the God who sovereignly rules over all things, who has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, and who works in everything for His glory and for the good of His people. And so when we give thanks in the midst of wickedness and all kinds of bad things happening, but we give thanks because we know that our God is at work in the midst of it. Our thanksgiving should be in view of Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And God, I thank You that I can trust You, that You are at work even in this awful thing that is happening. And God, I thank You that I can pray to You and You can take an awful thing like a shooting of college students and You can turn that for good and for Your glory, even though it is an awful and despicable thing. And this theme is found throughout Scripture. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. And in Scripture we find thanks being given for physical provision, for food and for health. Think of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And as they were on their way, they were healed. And one of them came back to give Jesus thanks. And He was commended for that. We give thanks for not just physical provision, but spiritual provision for salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the apostle says, "Blessed be, thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We give thanks for spiritual gifts. Paul said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all." We give thanks for spiritual provision. We find in Scripture thanks being given for answered prayers. You can read it on your own, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul gives thanks for answered prayer. We give thanks for fellow Christians. We read that in chapter 1 of Ephesians. We find the giving of thanks for those who are in authority in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we read, "First of all, then, I urge that thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions." You mean even the president? Yes. Do you mean even that judge, that justice, that member of Congress that I find so despicable? Yes. Give thanks for them. In short, there is never a time when there is nothing to be thankful for. Because as we find written in the book of Lamentations, in the book of Weeping, in chapter 3, we find it written, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. We are to give thanks for all that we have received and all that we're called upon to suffer, even in the midst of bad circumstances. Jonah found himself in the belly of a fish all through his own doing. And in that stinking, dark, wet belly of the fish, Jonah gave thanks. You see, We give thanks for all things. There is nothing in this life that should cause you to cease giving thanks. Rather, give thanks for all things. But that brings us, thirdly, to know not just the duration and scope of our thanksgiving, but note the direction of our thanksgiving. Where, to whom or to what are, do we give, are we to give thanks? He says, giving thanks always and for everything to God our Father. We are called to give thanks to our sovereign Father who loves and cares for us, from whose love nothing shall ever separate us. We are told in James that He is the one from whom is every good and every perfect gift. It all comes from His hand. In Psalm 103, we read that God the Father is the one who has blessed us. You know Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy... I'm quoting the wrong one, aren't I? I am quoting the right one. I'm not nearly so think as you confused I am. But it all comes from the hand of our Father. Ephesians chapter 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He, the Father, chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He, the Father, predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And you could go on down through there. He has done this. He has blessed us. He has blessed us with every spiritual and material blessing in this life. He is the one whose hand is at work in everything for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Every benefit, past, present, and future, flows from His love, and we should continually direct our thanks to Him. So you may, and I've heard it said, you know, I did this, I got this, I earned this. Yeah, but who gave you the ability to earn it? Who gave you the ability to get it? Who made that you got? You see, it all comes from the hand of our gracious and loving Father. I remember years ago when I was a teenager and I was old enough to not believe some of the myths associated with Christmas, and I got a bicycle. It's come out on Sunday morning, this gorgeous 10-speed bike. That was the be-all and end-all back then, man. And I said to my parents, thank you, forgetting that my younger sister was there and she was not nearly as worldly wise as I was. And my parents said, well, why are you thanking us? That's all they said. I don't know, it just felt like the right thing to come out of my mouth. But it points out an important truth. We're to give thanks to the giver of every good and perfect gift. So we direct our thanksgiving to the Father from whose hand all this comes to us. And then that brings us, fourthly and finally, to the basis of thanksgiving. The basis of thanksgiving. The very heart of our gratitude. He says, the Spirit-filled Christian is giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we pray, we add on to our prayer, in the name of Jesus, amen. But But dear friends, these words are not a mere appendage. They're not a magical mantra. It's not like abracadabra, the magic wand that we wave so that we get whatever it is we've asked for. No. When we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we say that we are coming before the Almighty Creator God on the basis of His authority, on the basis of what He has done in our lives. We pray, and notice what He calls Jesus. We pray in the name of our Lord. We profess that He is ours. We own Him, not in a possessive sense, but in the sense of, yes, He's my Lord. That one's not my Lord. That one's not my Lord. He's my Lord. He is ours, and He is Lord. He is Lord over my life. He is my sovereign. He is the one to whom I owe allegiance. He is the one whom I serve. And He is my Lord because He is Jesus. That is the name the angel gave Him, both in speaking to Mary and speaking to Joseph. And when He spoke to Joseph, He said, "You will call His name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins." It speaks of the truth that He is the Savior sent from God, the one in whom there is forgiveness of sins full and free. And He is not just the Lord, not just Jesus, but He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One, our Prophet, Priest, and King, our Redeemer. The One in whom we have all that we need for life and life to come. And it is on the basis of our relationship to Him and what He has done in our lives in saving us out of the slave market of sin and bringing us into the freedom of sons, that we can come. You know, it's all about who you know, isn't it? I have a friend who's a pastor in Charleston, South Carolina, and growing up, he met all kinds of great athletes. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, I mean, all kinds. Those are just the football, some of the football players. How did he do that? Because his father was a Bay Area sports writer. And he was with his father. And he got to go with his father into the locker rooms. He couldn't go in there by himself, but it was because that's his daddy. And dear friends, it is because of Christ that we can come and we can give thanks. Those who do not trust in Christ can't do that. They can't. Because all the things, if you do not trust in Christ, all the good things that you have in this life are only heaping up judgment for you. Dear friend, if you do not trust in Christ, every single thing that you have is God's declaration to you to trust in Him, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. Come to Him through faith in Christ. Otherwise, it will be nothing but ashes. Good for nothing. Every blessing, dear friends, is ours through Christ. And this is why we give thanks. It is in Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. with every spiritual blessing. And so, friends, when you give thanks in the name of Jesus, you're saying it is Christ who has gotten you all these things. And it is in union with Him that all things are made to be for your good. It has all come to you through His nail-scarred hands. So through Him, you give thanks. So what God is calling us all to is not a single day of Thanksgiving. Oh yeah, celebrate Thanksgiving. Enjoy your feasts and your football and whatever else, and your family. But oh dear friends, let every day and every moment be filled with thanksgiving, flowing from a heart of gratitude that has been changed through faith in Christ. Change from death to life. And that is the ultimate reason to be giving thanks. He saved you. Let's pray.